again today, so I'm just going to pray for him. And let's really just be attentive as he shares with us today. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you so much for Irvin and the blessing that he is and Helene to our church. And Lord, I just pray that as he brings your word, that you just help us to have hearts that are open and ears that are attentive to your word. And Holy Spirit, we just want to hear from you. And please won't you just shape our hearts and our minds and our spirits as we listen today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. I must tell you, today is a very special day. And you'll see at the end why I say that. Who's been hearing God speak already? In the words of the songs. And my sister over there has had a hold of my sermon notes, I believe, which you'll discover in a short while. I'm going to be referring to two passages of Scripture. The first one is Galatians chapter 5, from 22 to 23. In fact, I'm going to read longer than that. Where shall I read from? Verse 16. I'm just going to read to the end of the chapter there. Paul writing to the Galatian church, and he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh," remember the word desires, "the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh," I want you to remember the works of the flesh, plural. "The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these." Do you recognize any of them? If you don't recognize them, buy this morning's newspaper. "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit," notice fruit is a singular word, "the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." You won't read that in this morning's newspaper. "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." I'm just going to read to the end of that chapter. Our God is a God of order. God is a God of order. In Genesis chapter 1, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. And God brought order. And God is a God of order. God is a God of life. He's not a God of death. He's not the God of death. He's a God of life. And God doesn't love. He is love. He doesn't just love. God is love himself. He is the essence of love. And God doesn't just have joy. He is joy. He is joy. It's very interesting looking at those passages, and there they're up for you on the screen. The works of the flesh are plural, and it speaks of the confusion that there is in the world. There's confusion in the world because of these things. Sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, and don't think we don't have idolatry. All you have to do is meet a young guy with his new BMW and you know all about idolatry. Enmity, jealousy, fits of rage, fits of anger, rivalries. Ever heard of those? Join a big company and find out what you'll find about rivalries. Drunkenness, divisions, and so on and so forth. And it goes on and on. And so the works of the flesh speak of plural, speak of the confusion that there is. And often these things that are listed there are mutually antagonistic to each other, and so the confusion gets worse and worse and worse. But then I want you to notice the other list, and the list is the fruit of the Spirit, singular. And what does it speak about? It speaks about the Spirit of God and the unity that there is in God, the fruit of the Spirit are those things that are listed there. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now the question I have to ask you is, how do you get from the fruit of the flesh, how do you get from the fruit of the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit? How do you get from one to the other? And now I want you to look at John chapter 15. The beginning of that chapter. Jesus says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, or the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch in me that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear much more fruit. Those of you gardeners, you'll know all about this. Pruning. To make the plant bear more. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Notice the word abide. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you, that my Father may be glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love, says Jesus. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Is that what you want? I want that. I want that. I'm going to say a few things to you today. The first one is that we are planted for a purpose. We are planted for a purpose. We don't become Christians so that we can decorate a church. We don't become Christians so we can be different to other people. We are planted for a purpose. God plants us for a business, for a purpose. And Jesus says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. When I was a young teenager growing up in the church, we used to get told that if you're not bearing fruit, you're going to be cut off and thrown into the fire. And so what was bearing fruit? Bearing fruit was you had to be out in the street handing out tracts and knocking on doors and beating people over the head with your Thompson's Chain Reference Bible. And if they weren't getting saved, you weren't bearing any fruit. And if that didn't happen for a few weeks, you were in danger of landing up on the compost heap. Isn't that true? You sort of felt, whoa, I'm not very fruitful. Fruit. This is why my sister read my notes this morning. Fruit grows on trees, which are planted specifically for the benefit of producing a crop in order to provide a multitude of reasons. That's why they grow. You don't plant fruit trees for fun. You plant them because you want the fruit. And some of the uses that you get from fruit trees is you can get food. You can get medicine. You can get perfume. You can get pleasure. You can get comfort. You can get protection. You can get beauty, ladies, from trees. All these are gifts provided for us by God in the trees. But before one gets to the gifts, there needs to be a healthy tree, which needs to be planted in the right place and nurtured. Isn't that true? If you put a plant in the wrong place, as we've discovered, it doesn't do too well. Then you dig it up and put it somewhere else, and suddenly it flourishes. It has to be in the right place, and then it starts to produce. So before we get to speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we need to start with a tree. Need to start with a tree. This series that we're doing is called God Breathed. Every word of God in the Bible is God Breathed. And if you will listen, you will hear the sound of his words to you. Psalm chapter 1. I was sitting there this morning, absolutely amazed at how God was busy this morning when I looked at my sermon. And I heard Doug speak about the rivers. And I heard my sister speak about trees. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. The word of God. Meditate on the word of God. And what does it say in verse 3? He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit. When? In season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does prospers, if you plant it in the right place. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, The psalmist says, a man like this is blessed, who's been planted by the streams of water. Because of all the above, in all that he does, he prospers. If he's planted in the right place, and he's in the right circumstances, he prospers. Properly cared for, his leaf doesn't wither. If he's properly looked after. Often after David has written something really important, I don't know if you've noticed in the book of Psalms, when you're reading through the Psalms, you read a verse and suddenly on the side of the verse is a little word. Have you noticed it? It's called Selah. Have you seen it? Does anybody know what it means? Anybody? Yeah. Stop. Stop what you're doing. Just spend a moment and think about what you've just read. So if David had listened this morning here and said, guys, before we carry on, Selah, just stop for a minute. Think about what God has said this morning. For the tree to flourish, it needs to be planted in the right place. He is planted by the streams of water. The streams of water speak of the place where the Holy Spirit is flowing. That's what it speaks about. The streams of water speak about the Holy Spirit flowing. If we are to bear much fruit, we need to be in the place where the stream of the Holy Spirit flows freely. If you're going to bear fruit, you have to be in a place where the streams of the Holy Spirit flow freely. If the Holy Spirit is stifled or ignored, or confined to the pages of some theological books, it is as if the stream has been stopped, the water has stopped flowing and become stagnant. What happens to stagnant water? It looks foul, doesn't it? Looks foul. I remember being in a valley one day and I was really, really thirsty and I came across these pools of water and they were yellow. But I promise you, I was so thirsty I had to drink them. But it looked yuck. Stagnant water looks foul. You can't drink it. It smells. This is not a place you want to spend a lot of time. And if we are to bear much fruit, we need to be in a place where we can spend a lot of time. And the second thing I want to say to you this morning is this. We need to abide in the love of God. We need to abide that word. And I said to you, take notice of this word. Do you know how many times that word is used in that passage? 11 times God uses that word, abide. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me, says Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Think carefully. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. Branches are gathered and thrown into the fire. In verse 5, Jesus likens us to the branches. Our sister spoke about being grafted into the olive tree. Branches that are grafted in. For the branch to bear fruit, it must abide in the main stem. It must abide in the main stem. Folks, I want to say something here. You can't be a Lone Ranger Christian. A lot of people think, oh, I don't have to come to church. I don't have to... What do you guys want to get together and sing a lot of songs for and pray? I can do that in my garden. And my garden's beautiful. I'm sure God's in my garden too. And so people think that they don't have to gather together with other saints. They can be as good a Christian at home as what they can be in the church. Well, they can do that for a bit and then they will wither and die. If the branch breaks off from the stem, it will dry up and die. That's what will happen. And then it is useful only for decomposition and for firewood. If a branch is taken off the tree, it will wither and die. In order to bear fruit, the branch must abide in the stem. In the Greek, the word abide means to stay or to dwell or don't move away. It means to hang in there. That's what the word abide means. It means tightly bound to something. You're not going to leave it. It's linked to the word immutability. Boy, these big words. They're nearly as bad as marmalade. Immutability speaks of God, speaks of his unchanging nature. God never changes. Aren't you glad God never changes? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what immutability means. And that's what abide means. It means for us to hang in there, not to move, to be in that place all the time, to stay there. It's a place of sustenance. It's a place of encouragement. Abiding is a place of encouragement. Abiding provides security. And abiding provides fruitfulness. If you're not going to abide, you're not going to produce. That's as simple as it gets. So we need to remain connected to Jesus if we are going to produce fruit. In verse 5, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I must tell you something. For all its pushing, and for all its shoving, and for all its straining, and for all its effort, and for however big the vein is on its neck, and however strong the branch may be, the branch cannot produce one single fruit on its own. It can push as hard as it likes. It won't produce one single fruit. Nothing. It has to be connected in order to produce fruit. And so it is with us. No course, no program, no good books, no DVDs are going to make you produce fruit. How much fruit does the branch bear? Abiding in the stem, by abiding in the stem, drawing its sustenance from the sap coming up from the root, the fruit will naturally develop on this branch when we abide in. How much fruit? We don't know. We don't know. Depending on how well the plant has been looked after. Jesus says in verse 5, if you abide in me and I in you, he it is will bear much fruit. How much fruit? Much fruit. That's what we're going to produce. Much fruit. What fruit? In John chapter 14, we've covered this before in previous sermons. In John chapter 14 and verse 7, Jesus says this, the Holy Spirit will be with you and he'll be in you. He'll be in you. Like the sap in the tree is inside the tree. In John chapter 16, he says, he will glorify me and he will take what is mine and he will declare it to you. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. He's the sap inside the tree. The sap of the plant speaks of the Holy Spirit flowing up from the roots of the stem into the branches, into the leaves, and then into the fruit. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. It is he that determines the fruit. Our job is to abide. We don't have to worry about the fruit. We have to worry about abiding. Incidentally, what happens to the old leaves that fall off the tree? Have you noticed? They fall off the tree, and where do they go? They land at the bottom of the tree. If you go into the forest, what do you find? You find leaves all over the base of the forest. What's it doing down there, apart from dying? It's making compost. It's holding the moisture there. It's helping the tree grow. So it is with all the saints that have gone before us. How many people in your life, if you look back on your Christian life, how many people have made a great influence on your life and they're not here today? They're gone. I can think back on many people that have crossed my path over the years that have made a big impression on my life. And they've died. They've gone. They're like the leaves that have fallen off that tree. They're not wasted. They're not swept away and burnt. They gather around the base of the tree, and the tree grows strongly. And so we're all made the richer for the old leaves, if you like, that fall around the base of the tree. We can look back to faithful old saints who crossed our paths. They helped form Christ in us. Isn't that true? They helped form Christ in us. We wish many of them were still with us. But first, what do we do while we abide in Christ? What do we do? What is the relationship of the branch to the stem? The branch is so embedded in the very structure of the stem that the bond is strong enough to support the branch no matter how long or heavy it is. Even if it's a grafted branch, if the grafting's done properly, the branch will be very strong in the stem. And as we abide in Christ, we practice the presence of God. We spend time in His Word, getting stronger and stronger, washing ourselves in the Word of God, feeding ourselves on the bread of life, hearing the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. As we abide in Him, we communicate with Him. But folks, I want to say something else, and that is we are dealing with the subject of the Holy Spirit in the church at the moment. Learn to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Learn to make Him your friend. Learn to talk to Him all the time. Not special prayer times, shall we pray? No. Just speak to the Holy Spirit all the time and hear Him speak to you. I heard Him speak to me this morning as we were having worship this morning. And as I heard the song, when I looked at the songs we were singing and I heard my sister doing the communion this morning, I heard the Word of God speaking to my heart. And we'll hear Him if we'll listen. Thirdly, I want to say this. We are pruned for fruitfulness. We're not pruned because God wants to punish us. We're pruned for fruitfulness. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes it that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Jesus refers to His Father as the gardener or the vine dresser. The gardener cares for the vine. He cares for it. He's not angry with it. He doesn't want to punish it. He cares for it. So when you go cutting your roses at home, you're not angry with the rose. You want it to be a healthy rose, and so you prune it. And so it is with God. He prunes us. He cares for us. Verse 2 says, every branch, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me, each of us, folk, every single one of us is important to God. Every single one. Every branch. God cares for each branch, and He is aware of the health of every branch. He removes dead branches. He cuts off dormant branches. He prunes the plant to allow the good branches to reach their potential. Pruning is such a healthy practice, and our Father is such an expert. He's such an expert. God is such an expert. The plant needs water. It needs compost. It needs sunlight. It needs to be cared for. And only with all these things will it yield its fruit in its season. Submit yourself, therefore, to the loving gardener who has your best interest at heart. He has your best interest at heart. Fourthly, I want to say this is not a real Baptist sermon because I've got more than three points. Fourth thing I want to say is this: filled with God's love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Love in these verses is taken from the word agape, which we all have heard at some stage in our Christian walk. It means affection and benevolence. That's what it means, affection and benevolence. So the first fruit that Paul speaks about in Galatians is the fruit of love. Interesting, it starts with love. Compared to the fruits of the flesh, the works of the flesh, and all the chaos that is to be found there, the first of the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is love. What love is this? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, says Jesus. How did God the Father love? How did God the Father love God the Son? How did he love him? Agape love. That's right. As God doesn't just love as one of his actions or abilities, as we might say of somebody, he's really got a gift of love. God doesn't just have a gift of love. God is the essence of love. He's the essence of love. Perhaps this is a little beyond the comprehension because of the media exposure and education that we get on television. We get told what love is according to Hollywood, but that's not love according to God. And there are people who've grown up in homes with little or no love. There are folk who've grown up in homes with little or... They've become hardened. They've learned to shield themselves against the negativity and the aggression that might be in the home. And so they don't really know what a father's love may look like. And I don't know if I'm speaking to somebody today. But I want you to know this, that God our Father is not like that. God our Father is a God of love. Your unhappy experience of your father doesn't represent what the real Father of love looks like. He's very, very different. You may not know what real love looks like, but God's love is pure. God's love is affectionate. God's love is benevolent. And most importantly, God's love is everlasting. It's everlasting. I would just pass on a little word from God to you today. I want you to know that God is particularly fond of you. Particularly. He's fond of me too, by the way, but he's very fond of you. How do we produce this fruit of love? How do we produce it? The fruit will be produced by the Holy Spirit in us as we abide. As we abide. That's what we've got to do. How do we produce this fruit? We abide. That's what we do. We abide. The fruit will be produced as we abide. The emphasis here is abiding, not straining, not working hard to produce fruit. It's abiding. It's abiding. You're not going to produce one single fruit as you work hard. As we abide, the deep root of the tree draws sustenance from the water of that river, and the rich soil and the sap of the Holy Spirit comes up the stem along the branches, and in due season, God's fruit of love forms in us and ripens, and it blesses God and everyone else who partakes of it. Everyone enjoys our orange tree. Eventually the oranges come, and they're lovely. Anyone can have one. And so it is with the fruit of love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I will never make a bank teller because I can never turn pages over. But lastly, I want to say, this is my fifth point and really is the last one. Celebrate God's joy. Celebrate God's joy. Paul lists joy as the second fruit of the Holy Spirit. The word joy used in John 15:11 comes from the Greek word chara, which means cheerfulness or calm delight. It's the word that we get charisma from. It's the word from which charismatic comes. And what does it mean? Compelling attractiveness and charm that can inspire devotion. That's what it means. That's what charisma means. It inspires devotion. The Oxford Dictionary defines joy as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. It's so weak, really. But anyway, that's the Oxford Dictionary. God says in Isaiah 65, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I created, for behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. That's what God says. So was God rejoicing in us this morning? Yes, he was. Was he glad in his people this morning? Yes, he was. And everywhere else where God's people have been meeting. Zephaniah 3 tells us that the Lord your God is in your midst, mighty, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. And Psalm 16 says this, you make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So in closing, we are planted for a purpose, folks. We are Christians for a purpose. We're not here by accident or decoration. We are here for a purpose. To bear much fruit. That's what God's purpose for us is. In order to do this, we need to abide in God's love. We are planted to produce good, and we are to submit to our loving Father's gardening practices. Sometimes they're hard, but God is a good gardener. Thirdly, we are to be filled with God's love. That's the first of the fruits of the Spirit. And we will then celebrate His joy. We are not able to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit by our own effort, however hard we may do it. We need to be in the right place for God to work in us. We need to be in the right place. So what is the word for us today? There's a word I want you to hang on to today. That word is abide. Abide. Abide in the Lord, and you will produce fruit. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit what He's saying to you today, from what you've heard, from what we've sung, from what you heard in the communion this morning, from what you've heard God speak to you from His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You. First of all, for Your presence, which has been quite tangible this morning. We ask You, Lord, to continue to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.